Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Rejoice to be here with you all. Very thankful to be here. I appreciate. Brings joy to my heart of the hymns that we sang this morning already. The prayerful hymns. I really appreciated that. And thankful for God's word that we have this morning. If we would, I just sense my need for a prayer here. Let's bow our heads and our hearts. Father in heaven, we do come to you in Jesus' name again this morning here. We thank you for this gathering. We thank you for each one that's here, Lord. And thank you for this holy privilege, Lord, of continuing to seek thee and to draw nigh to thee and to consider what you'd have for us, Lord. And just pray that you, Lord God, would be lifted up and exalted, that this would be a time of drawing near to thee, Lord, and not to look up to any man or worship any man, but worship the Lord Jesus this morning and draw near to him. Father, and we just thank you for this time. I pray you'd guide and direct my heart and my mind and that you'd communicate rightly, Lord. And we worship thee and love thee in Jesus' name. Amen. For a scripture this morning, let's turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, I may read 1 through 17 there, kind of quickly here. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator, profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. The scripture here is been really a blessing to me, and as I consider, it's been about 4 years since I've been born again to the glory of God, and I just consider the race that we're all in, and it says here that he is the author. He is the author of my faith, of our faith. And he's also the finisher of our faith. And just a need that God in his mercy keeps impressing on my heart to continue to seek him more fully and to grow in grace and the knowledge of him, and to grow more in his likeness, more in the likeness of his son, the Lord Jesus. And I'm very thankful that that's each one of our desires here this morning, and that we are all on this race together, and we all are seeking to glorify him, to do his will. And thankfully, most of us have the foundation of Jesus Christ under us, and we've been born again and made a new creature. Glory be to his name here this morning. So as some of us are at a different place in our race, some are further along, maybe been born again longer and are further down the road in some ways, maybe are older and maybe may pass away sooner. Don't know what the Lord's will is, but we're all on this race. And at times we tend to, I know I have at times carried too many things along with me on this race. And God here gave us just holy wisdom here to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. A runner doesn't do very well carrying extra stuff along that's just hindering him from performing like he needs to. And so first of all, I believe it's God's will that my heart would be clean and pure before him. How he has promised that through Jesus we can be made clean and pure, be cleansed, and hunger and thirst after righteousness. So we have that desire to glorify him. So I think that would be the first thing that I should do in my own heart and life, is to be pure before him and to seek that, so it would enable me to walk more uprightly and to be more like Jesus. It just really blessed my heart here. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He endured the cross for me and for us. He became sin for us and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And here's what I'd like to point out, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. That Jesus is the one that brings life to my heart. He is the one that keeps us from fainting. If we do it for man or in our own strength, we will faint. But Jesus will keep us from fainting as his life is in us. And his life is in us, and we need to allow it to flow from us, to not squander his life. And if there's sin in my heart, I do not want to draw near, because I don't want to deal with the sin. So that seems like that's something God just continues to point out to me, is the vital need. Excuse me, for growth in my heart and life is to be pure and clean. And I will love his law. And I will rejoice in his presence. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servants also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19, 7 through 14. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. What a glorious conversion that he desires to have in each one of us as he makes us a new creature and walks in that newness of life. O Lord, my strength. Truly he is our strength. And I just, you know, at times when God visits us and points out something in my heart that he is not well pleased with it. Do I rejoice in his mercy in that way, in his love? That's the tender love of the Father. I believe it's the same love that Jesus had when he died for each one of us. It's that same love that he wants to keep us until the end. Do I rejoice in him visiting me in that way? And it's really his mercy and his love. That's about all the comments I had on the scripture there. I had a little account here I was wanting to read here out of Fruitful Families, by the book Fruitful Families by Howard Bean. The chapter here is called What to Plant. It's talking about, the section was on gardening, and so I was looking at this it's quite, it blessed me. I encourage everyone to be involved in gardening. Here's what I suggest you plant if you'd like to reap a satisfying, bountiful, and eternal harvest. First, plant 5 rows of lettuce. Let us love one another. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks us a reason of the hope that is in us. Let us control our tongues and let us be faithful. Next, you should include some squash. Squash gossip, squash envy, squash careless living, and squash indifference. Then you should have at least 6 rows of peas. Politeness, prayerfulness, patience, promptness, purity, and perseverance. Several kinds of berries should be planted. Berry pride, berry an unforgiving spirit, berry a hot temper, berry personal idols, and berry bad habits. Finally, be sure to plant 4 rows of turnips. Turn up for prayer meeting, turn up with a friendly smile, turn up with a consecrated heart, and turn up with a zeal for God. Don't forget to water, weed, and wait for the fruit of your labors. Be eager to share your gardening knowledge with those who haven't heard. First Corinthians 9:26 says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. And I believe that's God's heart, that we seek him and that we continue to draw near to him, and that we're not just around beating the air, but we're looking to do his holy will and looking to grow in his ways and draw near to him. And there's another little, when we were up visiting Mom and Dad in New York here a couple weeks ago, I took my brother-in-law to a grocery store, and there was a dry goods store there. And I was in there, and I came across this little phrase on this. There's like this little booklet thing, notepad, and it really, really blessed my heart, because right around this time I was considering about some of these things. It said, watch your thoughts, for they become your words. Watch your words, for they become your actions. Watch your actions, for they become your habits. And watch your habits, for they become your destiny. And now at times I can tend to think, oh, I really That's really not the way I believe. But if I continue the habit, maybe my convictions will change. And I'll end up in a place where I didn't desire to go. And so the need to bring my heart and my mind and my habits all together and to practice what I truly believe before it's too late, I think would maybe be some wisdom there. But just very thankful for the Father's tender care for each one of us and for His mercy on us this morning. And I just had made me think of Psalm 23 here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May His rod and His staff comfort us here today. And Linda and I are real thankful for each one of you, and we rejoice in continuing to seek the Lord together and endeavoring to grow in His ways. And I ask that you pray for us, and we want to do the same for each one. If there's anything that you all would see in our lives that you that would hinder us from being faithful in our race, I ask that you feel the freedom to approach us and pray that we could receive it with gladness. And appreciate everyone's attention. Lord, bless your day.